Hi folks, it's Andy, the analytical preacher. Had a question the other day, which has been a common question over the last few years, which is, what are we supposed to call God? And I will tell you why the gentleman who asked the question asked it. Once he had, as he said, made this discovery in the scriptures that he was unaware of, he said he talked to some other folks in a small group study that he was in. And he said he thought he was supposed to call God Yahweh. And somebody in the group said, no, it's supposed to be Jehovah. And he said, there are other individuals in that group that when they pray, they always use a title. He said, one person says, to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Said another one always talks about Most High God in heaven and things like that. And he said, to be honest, it always feels like those folks are just kind of showing off a little bit with what they say. He goes, but now it's really got me concerned. Is there something that we've been instructed to call God? And if so, then obviously I want to follow those rules. Here's what he discovered in the scriptures that he was not aware of. You may or may not be aware of it as well. But in most English translations, when God's name is used, it's actually not printed in the Bible, but instead it's Lord in all capital letters. So if you see someone referring to their Lord as like an earthly boss or something, it's a lowercase L. If you see someone referring to Jesus as Lord, it's an uppercase L on Lord. But if it's God's first name, if it's God's name, then most English translations will take what was originally YHWH and translate it capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The passage that he hit upon was in Exodus chapter 3. He was reading about Moses being sent by God to the Hebrew people, to the Israelites, to set them free from Egyptian bondage. But he was reading a Holman Study Bible version of the scripture, and the Holman Study Bible actually puts God's name in there instead of the all caps Lord. So let me read you from this Holman Study Bible scripture, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. It says this: Then Moses asked God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. In the Holman and in every other English version that does it, they put the vowels in. In the original Hebrew, there was not vowels. So what Moses wrote would have been English letters, basically YHWH. We have, for English readers, inserted the vowels, an A and an E in there to make it Yahweh. If you translate Yahweh into English, you get something like Jehovah. And so that's why some folks would say Jehovah is really his name in English. Much like if you said this person's name is Santiago in Spanish, then we would say, well, that's James in English. Pedro in Spanish is Peter in English, etc. And so where this gentleman and the other person in his Bible study were coming from is, it says here, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. So they said, then should we be calling God Yahweh? And should we be referring to him as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, if that is how he is to be so called in every generation? In order to answer that question, I want to kind of make two points. One is this phrase, I am, or I am who I am, which God used before he actually gave the name, can also be translated as to exist, to just exist, to be. So this idea that God is just there, God is independent, he's uncreated, he's eternal, he's self-sufficient, etc. That's what God's trying to get across. The name Yahweh also means the existing one. And so God is saying, look, here's who's sending you, the God that's always been, the God that will always be, the God that stands alone, uncreated, completely sovereign and self-sufficient, period. That's who's sending you. My name is basically just a derivative of my attributes. I am the existing one. That's what my name means. So Yahweh or Jehovah just means the existing one. Very similar again to I am. But here's the other point we have to note. God did not actually say, I am to be called this in every generation. Instead, he said, this is my name, and this is how I am to be remembered. What does that mean? How is God wanting to be remembered? God is wanting to be remembered as the great I am. God is wanting to be remembered as the self-sufficient, eternally existing, not dependent on anyone, uncreated, sovereign God of the universe. That is how I am to be remembered through all generations, not as the sun god of Egypt or the moon god of this. God says, I am the sovereign, all-time, uncreated, completely self-contained God. That is my name, that is my description, and that is how I am to be remembered throughout every generation. So the Bible actually does not teach us that we are to refer to God as either Yahweh or Jehovah or I am throughout every generation. We don't have to, every time we refer to Him, refer to Him as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. All of those things are fine. If you want to call God Yahweh or Jehovah, if you want to call God I am, that's perfectly okay. It's not a requirement. If we go to the New Testament, we get a really, really quick feel for how we might want to refer to God. And we can go to Matthew chapter 6, what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is contained in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus did not say, pray like this, Yahweh in heaven, Jehovah in heaven, the great I am in heaven, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in heaven. No, Jesus said, pray then like this, Matthew 6, 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, which just means holy, sanctified, set apart, distinguished be your name, our Father. You say, well, he was Jesus' Father, maybe in a sense that he's not ours, but Jesus didn't say, pray then like this, my Father in heaven. Jesus is explicitly saying, pray like this, our Father. He's our Father. We go on in Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes this, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. We get a very similar but slightly different verse, same writer from Paul, different letter, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, 16, and 17. Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Here Paul is saying, this is what the Spirit is doing with us and for us, is referring to God as Father, and not this really technical term for Father, but this more close, intimate term, Abba, Father, which Abba is an Aramaic word, which again is just a more intimate way to say Father, more like saying Dad or something like that. The slight difference in the two verses is in Galatians, it says that the Spirit is crying from within our hearts, Abba, Father. And in Romans, it says, we cry, Abba, Father. So this, it's that ongoing idea in the Bible that we are never alone, that once we are saved as Christians, we have the Spirit of God within us to push us forward. Romans talks about the Spirit can pray for us when we don't know what to pray. And here the Spirit with us in unison and unified voices say, Abba, Father. Because we don't just speak about God the Father in New Testament times. We clearly speak about Jesus the Christ as well. And the issue then becomes, if we are to call God Father primarily, or again, we can call Him Jehovah, we can call Him Lord, but if we call God primarily Father, what is it that we call the Son? And again, I think if we go to the Scriptures, we see, let me just read you a few verses from the Apostle Paul, and you can see he was very, very consistent. Of course, we can call him Jesus. That was his name, Savior, because that's the role he plays. Christ, you can call him King. You can call him Messiah. Essentially, Christ in English, Cristo in Spanish, King, Messiah, Anointed One. They all mean the same thing. They literally mean the leader, the king that's been anointed by God. So Christ means anointed one. King was the anointed one. Messiah is just the Hebrew version of the anointed one, etc. But listen to what Paul says. Let me just go 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." Not capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, just capital L, Lord. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The next letter in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I won't read them all, but it goes on. His opening in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2, and on it goes. One time Paul switches it up when he writes to a young man named Titus. Paul writes this in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, to Titus, "My true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior." So are we required, was really the question this gentleman, are we required to refer to God as Yahweh, who is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? We are not. We are to remember always the eternal, sovereign, self-sufficient attributes of God. God is not one God among many, and God is not a created being. God is the only thing in existence that was not created. He is, I am, completely self-sufficient. We are to always remember that. And I believe when we pray as Jesus did, He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our Father in heaven, you are distinct and holy and set apart. We don't use the word hallowed much, but that's where we would go. When we refer to God, whether it's as Jehovah or whether it's as Father, whether it's as I am, we should always acknowledge to God in our prayers, in our supplications, in our thanksgivings, that God is the eternal, only uncreated entity in all of existence, and that He is sovereign and completely self-sufficient. But we are not required, according to Scripture, to always refer to Him as Yahweh. If anything, if we take the New Testament examples of people like Jesus and the Apostle Paul, I think it's best if we try to think about God as our Father, as a holy, distinct, uncreated, and completely sovereign Father, but think about God as our Father in heaven, even our Abba Father. And generally, when Paul or Peter or John refer to Jesus, they refer to Him as Lord or Christ or Savior, and Lord is probably the most common among those. Let me throw in one word of caution as I close here. When we speak to someone who says, "You should always refer to God as this," or when they pray, they do this elaborate God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, or you've read those verses in Exodus, and now you're convinced that you need to be telling everyone that they're wrong and they've been wrong all this time because they don't refer to God as Yahweh, I would caution that some self-righteousness is sneaking in there. And so let's just be really careful. We're completely dependent on this great I Am. We're completely dependent on Jesus as the anointed Christ to be our Lord and our Savior. We can't find direction and we can't find salvation without God. We don't cry Abba Father without the Spirit within us, crying it in unison for us. And so we just always want to be extremely careful as Christians not to let anything become self-righteous within us, not to let any element of our faith make us feel like now I'm a better Christian than some of these other folks because of how I refer to God versus how they do. Always be cautious in making something a point of self-righteousness in your faith. And I will close this by saying grace and peace to all the listeners in the name of God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. This is Andy. Until next time.